shining, and what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to today, looking forward to the worship hour. I say a lot of times we take it for granted. We was talking in our Sunday school lesson of about where the Lord needs to help our unbelief, how little faith we have, and what a great God He is. But thank God that He gives us just the little faith we have, and thankful for everything He's done. This morning started off great for me. Woke up early, and was even here early. There was some of us here early. I ain't going to mention anything. And Abby's already went on a little trip this morning. She fell out in the yard, and so that started me off in a good mood. And we got back there, and Stephanie was in a good mood until Colton was trying to give her a compliment on her jacket and said she looked like a cow. I told Colton, I know you've never been married, but you never tell a woman she looks like a cow. You might get by with Dalmatian, but not a cow. So it's going to be a fun morning. Ready to get going. Good to see everyone out. I know we've had some prayer requests in the back, and I've had one on my heart. A neighbor lives across from us. It was a fire this week. His shop was on fire, and he went in and tried to get a pickup truck out of it and stepped in some oil, and the fire went up his legs, and he is in what we call Cobb General with some burns, had to have some surgery Friday for skin grafts. Y'all remember him. He stands in need of our prayers. The pain is so intense, they're keeping him out. Just terrible pain. So y'all be much in prayer for him and his family. I know we've had several that's recovering from treatments, cancer treatments and different things, and it doesn't take a smart person to look around and see that we all have problems. We're all in need of a Savior, number one, and we're in need of prayer for everyday problems. We all have them. So you got any prayer requests we need to bring the Lord this morning? Anybody? Do ask you to remember our church as we go forward in the year. It's just already flying by. As you'll see, Bible school stuff's going to be advertising starting today, and June will be here before we know it. It's coming so fast. So I ask you to bring much in prayer for our church. We've got many things planned throughout this year, and just pray the Lord puts it on our hearts to go through with those things and to really get involved with our community and do what it is He's called us to do. And I thank for each one. I want to say this morning, I know they don't care for any recognition, but Jonathan and Carrie and some more, Keith and Kay, I think, was down here, worked on our bathrooms. We voted on these things, and now this is not like Baptist. We voted on this thing Sunday night, and it's a week from not even a full week, and they're done. We put in, if you haven't been in there, I encourage you to walk in the bathroom. I was thinking this morning, you know you're getting old when you get excited about a bathroom. But they put in three larger or taller toilets. The only downside I have saw, haven't tried them out, but I don't think my feet's going to touch the floor. But other than that, they're going to be good. And they put some, make it easier to use those bathrooms. They put some handles in there, so to try to make it easier on some people that have a harder time. So thankful for them. Thankful for the work they do, not just for the bathroom, but they do for our church year round. They are great workers, and I thank God for them. So thank you to y'all. Anything else we need to remember? We got any unspoken? I know everybody's got unspoken. If you do, just raise your hand. I know it should be all over the building. Father, we thank you this morning for your mercy and grace. We thank you for most of all sending your precious son to die for something as bad as I am. God, I thank you for the grace and mercy you're still offering. After 2,000 years, it's still available to all who will come. Lord, we thank you today for the spirit we feel in your house already. And God, we ask you to be real this hour. God, come and touch us in a mighty way. God, I pray your blessings upon our church. I pray your blessings upon each member that makes this church up. Brother Mike, that's suffering from the burns, God, in the hospital, I pray that, Lord, you open his eyes, number one, to you, and I pray that you comfort him. And God, let him know that you're there, and God, that you're available if he'll call upon you. And Father, we ask you to be in the many other prayer requests that's made known as hands went up all over the building. God, you know what each situation is, and I pray you answer. And God, is your will is perfect. And God, I pray that you help us, that you help our unbelief this morning. God, be with our singers. We come. Let us truly, for this hour, forget everything but you. Let us focus on you this morning and the things that are you, and let all these people in this building leave today saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we ask them. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone.
Who you are, and I'm loved. There are days of taking more than I can give. And there are choices that I've made that I wouldn't make again. I've had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my guide through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me. When I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won and I lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret.
More about Jesus, let me learn more.
Day. Go home right now saying it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. I had a, those of y'all might know or might not know, I like to read Charles Stanley's daily devotion. I'm a creature of habit, I guess. I've got things, certain thing I do in the morning when I get to work, and first thing I try to do is to pull up Charles Stanley's daily devotion and read it and read the scripture that goes along with it. And this week, I want to kind of copy one of the things I read there, and I want to ask you to do a favor for me. You don't have to do anything. I can't make you do anything, but I wish you would do this. He had in his daily devotion a great idea for us to try. I want you to, if you will, every person, and you don't have to show it to me, you don't have to show it to anybody, but sometime this week, I want you to write on a piece of paper or your computer, however you like to write, about your experience when you come to Christ, your salvation experience. Charles Stanley's message was about us sharing our faith and how we will say that we're all not called to be preachers, we're all not called to do this, but one thing we each have is a story. Each one of us have a story of how we came to Him. So he said what a great idea it would be for people to pin down that. And I remember that when I was in school, my teachers taught me that if I would write something down, I would remember it. And I thought, that's hogwash. It's not true. But as being called to preach over 10 years ago, I began writing down messages God would put on my heart. And I found that I very seldom look at it because I remember it once I write it down. But this is something you should remember. And then when you write it down, I think it'll help you to realize that you have a testimony. You have something to tell people that He has done for you, and that's all God asks about us. There's not a one of us in here can save a single person. But what we all can do is tell somebody about what God has done for us. And so I ask you, if you will, this week, to one day write this down. Write it down. Then if you want to, every day following it, write down something that God has done for you. Something that God has brought you through. And I think you'll find that this is going to help you be able to share your testimony and to share your story with somebody. Pat won't mind me telling you this. She was in a store one time, and a gentleman come up to her and asked her, how somebody be saved? How could he be saved? And Pat said, of course, it takes you by surprise. I don't even know if I would be ready for that in a store. So, and she told him, and he was just testing her. He already knew he was a Christian already, but he just picked out somebody in the store to ask. And so we never know when these times are coming. So be ready. And the message is not even on that today. That's extra. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And the message came to my heart the other night during our service for our communion service. As we was drinking that blood, I began thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. And listen, do you understand something? We take this blood so often for granted. We tend to forget what's been done for us. I think as Americans, we forget two things most of all. We forget what God has done for us and given us a Savior, and we forget what our military has done for us through the years. I can remember, of course, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. I wouldn't be standing here today. But the first time I've ever understood what a literal man has done for me in this life, I began thinking about there was a guy who he used to come to Ramburn all the time, and I would follow him back to Bowden occasionally to lunch, and bless his heart, he'd drive 25 miles an hour. And I would be mad at him by the time we got to Bowden. I'd be so mad, I'd say, this old man needs to be off the road. And I come to find out one day he come to our shop, and this man had suffered in the death march over in Germany or wherever it was. I can't remember which country it was in, Terry, but he had suffered the German, whoever had captured him, and they actually cut his tongue. He walked 100, and I forget how many miles the march was. It was a lot of miles he walked. They give him one potato and a cup of water a day. And this man suffered this as an American and done it for me. So from that time on, when I'd get behind Mr. Ballinger, I'd just ride there. And I'd be happy of knowing that this man ought to get to do what he wants to do. But I began thinking about the price of freedom. And I want you to understand something. The price of freedom is very expensive. It's very expensive. Matter of fact, it cost God the most expensive thing He owned, and that's the blood of His Son. The most expensive thing, the most valuable thing, the most amazing thing that has ever been on the face of this earth is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the most, it's the best thing. It's the my favorite thing. It's the, and listen, if it was the only thing, bless God, it would be enough. It would be enough this morning, the blood of Jesus Christ. The title to the sermon this morning is What Can Wash Away My Sin? What can wash away my sin? We all know the last part of it, don't we? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter, verse 18 through 25. Listen to these words as I read. I want you to listen slowly. I'm going to try to read a little slower than I usually do. I get excited and have to talk 100 miles an hour, but I'm going to try to read a little bit slower. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, or this means your former walk, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, and boy, these two words right here got me, was manifested in these last times for you. For you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, And this is the word which we by the gospel is preached unto you. Father, we thank you today for this undying word. We thank you for this blood that was shed for every person. Father, it's my prayer this morning, if there be one in the sound of my voice that hasn't received this free offer from you, that God, you would draw them. God, you would draw them to yourselves, and that you would let them understand there's only one way back to you, and it's through this precious blood. Father, we thank you for this day, and we ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see something about this blood. I've told you it's the most remarkable thing that's ever been on earth. And by the way, our blood that we have in our bodies, our blood that we have today, that if I cut myself, the blood you would see, you can begin studying it out, and it's pretty amazing the things it does. Without it, we die. If the blood quits flowing, guess what, brother? You're gone. There's no hope. But listen, what's more important than that is the blood of Jesus Christ, because it has an eternal weight. It has eternal life. And the good thing about it is it cannot stop flowing. It's going to flow forever. But listen to this. This blood, this great blood that can wash away my sin. Number one, it's a redeeming blood. A redeeming blood. I looked up the meaning of redeemed. It means to set free by paying a price. In today's time, men, you really don't understand what it means to be redeemed. But in the Bible time, slaves knew what it meant to be redeemed. You see, because slavery was very, very prominent in those days. Slaves were all around, everywhere. And by the way, they still are today. We just don't see it. But listen, slaves was around, so slaves understood what it meant to be redeemed. And by the way, if a slave could come up with enough money, he could redeem himself. He could pay his owner, and he too could be set free. And this is what Peter is trying to get us to understand. This is not something you can pay for yourself. This is not something you can pay with silver and gold. The sin of man can only be paid with one price, and it's the awesome blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can pay the debt of a sinner's sin. That's the only thing that can wash it away. So listen, the freedom means to set free by paying a price. And my friend, today, if you know Jesus Christ, the free pardon of sin, you have been redeemed. You've been redeemed. And listen, now you and I know a little bit about redeeming because we do it in a market called the housing market. We pay an earnest money down on it. And we pay an earnest money. And when it comes time that we're going to buy that house, we've got our money up, we go and we give the owner the money and we redeem that thing. It becomes ours. We give him a price of money and he gives us land or he gives us houses or he gives us something. And so listen, we've been given earnest money ourselves, which is the Spirit of God. And listen, we have been redeemed already. I know people think eternal life begins the moment we take our last breath. That's not true. Our eternal life begins the moment we receive Jesus Christ. From that moment forward, we will never die spiritually. We are eternal beings. By the way, we're eternal beings when we're born. We're going to spend eternity in one of two places. So it's up to you today where you get to spend it. If the Spirit of God draws your heart, brother, I want to tell you today, you can be saved. I have talked to people who say that God will not save me. I've done this, this, and this. I dare you to show me in the Scripture where you cannot be saved. If the Spirit of God draws you, my friend, you can be saved. You can be saved. How wonderful that is. But listen, I told you in the beginning, freedom comes with a very, very high price tag. My redemption from sin came from God having to give the blood of His own Son for me. I don't understand this. I'll never completely grasp this thing of why God loved me so much that He was willing to send the best thing heaven had, which was the blood of Jesus Christ, to save old sinners like me. We have been loosed from the power of sin by the most valuable substance that has ever been on earth, and that's the precious blood of Christ. Now listen, you begin thinking about valuable substances, the first thing that comes to my mind is gold. It comes in gold or silver or just green $100 bills. Boy, that seems to be, if we had that, all of our problems would be fixed. If I only had $1 million or $2 million, you know what you would want? You'd want more $1 million if you had those $1 million. But listen, those things are corruptible. They can go away. You don't believe me? You talk to millionaires who's lost it all. They'll tell you that money can go away. But my friend, I want to tell you something today. You've been redeemed by something that's not corruptible, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And my friend, every drop of that blood that was shed is still available today. It did not go in the ground. It did not soak up. It's still available to save lost sinners from their sin. Amen. Still available. It's still here for us. And this is what amazes me again. The precious Lamb of God was not murdered. Listen to this. I begin to read Warren Wiersbe and some more writers on this. Jesus Christ was not murdered. People say, well, oh, the Sanhedrin and all those, the high priests and all, they just murdered the precious Lamb of God. My friend, they didn't murder him. He told them, he said, I could call legions of angels to come get me off of this tree. You cannot take my life. He said, I lay it down freely. My friend, he wasn't murdered. He wasn't killed unjustly. This man laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. He freely gave his blood for each person who ever walked this earth, whoever will walk this earth. Never get in your mind that they killed him unjustly. We may see that as humans, but listen, God foreordained before the foundation of the world the plan that man would have to be redeemed back to him, and it was through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He didn't spill it either. I know we got some songs that say the spilled blood, and I know writers didn't mean anything bad when they put that, but that's not the truth. You spill something, it's an accident. He shed it. He shed it freely. He laid down his life, and he knew he could pick it up again. Through the power of God. But listen, he loved us and he laid down his life to redeem lost souls back to him. I want you to think about the first Passover. Oh, could you imagine the first Passover when the children of Israel was to leave Egypt? You remember what God said? He said, you take your lamb and you kill that lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost. And he said, when the death angel comes by, if the blood's applied, he will pass over. And I've always thought about me being a son also, although I was not the firstborn son. But listen, I was a son. I'm a mom and daddy's son. I'm a boy. I'm a son. So I began to think, what should that little boy must think? I bet you that little firstborn son, he would go out in the night and he would look and make sure that blood was applied to the doorpost. He would make sure that blood was there because the death angel come by and the blood wasn't there. Guess what? It was his life. It was on the line. My friend, you are at the same place today. If the death angel passes by your way and the blood of Jesus Christ is not applied to the doorpost of your heart, your eternity will be in a place called hell. That's not popular, but it's true. We'll be in a place called hell. The precious blood of Christ, that precious lamb, the great plan of redemption was set up by God for you. Listen to this. It was for you. All in the scripture, he says, it was there for you. He said, God planned this before the foundation of the world. God planned a way for you. Take your name and put it right there. Take your name and put it right there. If your name's Rudy Rooks, put it in that place. Your name is Pat Turner, put it in that place. That God planned this thing for you. He did it for you, and that's what amazes me. You see, I tend to think that God did it for the whole world, and he did. But listen, this Bible is a personal love letter about a Savior who died for me. For Chad Morgan, for somebody who's not worth 10 cents, who sins all the time, who is no good for nothing, who can't amount to anything on his own. God loved me enough that before the world was founded, he made a way to bring me back to himself. Is that not amazing to you? And you know what I do with it? I take it for granted. And I trample it under my feet every day, forgetting about what has been done for me. And you go on in Peter and he tells us we should live holy because of this. You see, in our country, we have taken two things, as I said at the start of this, for granted. We've taken our Lord and Savior for granted, and we've taken our freedom for granted. Hey, we think because we're Americans, we granted all these freedoms. My friend, if it wasn't for men and women laying down their life for you on a battlefield today, you would be in some communist nation doing what they told you to do. The price of freedom has been very expensive. Very expensive. Great plan of redemption set up for me. Do you understand the prophets preached about it, but they couldn't understand it? Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Hey, they searched for this thing, and they tried to figure it out. What in the world am I preaching about? I know God's giving me this message, but what is this grace we're talking about? What is to come? They couldn't understand it because they knew the old law. They couldn't fully grasp what was coming for Jesus Christ. They couldn't fully understand about the blood that was being shed. Oh, how great it was. The prophets couldn't even understand this thing, but it went further than that. Listen at verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us that administer the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Watch this. Which things the angels desire to look into. The prophets of old couldn't understand it, and the angels can't even comprehend it. You know why? Because you study your Bible, and you'll find that when Satan was torn up, thrown out of heaven, there was other angels who fell also. And listen, they can't understand redemption. It can't comprehend it in their minds. They can't grasp redemption because it was not available to them. Redemption's only been available to the people that God has placed on this earth, and He made a way they could be brought back to Him. Hey, the angels desire to look into it. They're going over heaven right now saying, "Ooh, there's another one that's saved by grace. How did that happen? How did they get in? Oh, what a great thing that blood of Jesus must be. All those people on earth that act any kind of way, He redeems them. He paid a price for them. Hey, they go out and they kill millions of babies a year, but yet they can be forgiven. Oh, I got to look into this thing and try to understand it. It baffles even the angels. No wonder I can't understand it, Terry. The angels can't even understand this thing. But bless God, all I have to do is believe it by faith. I don't have to understand it to be saved. All I've got to do is believe it by faith." That's a miracle to me. The angels can't even comprehend it. Oh, what a great redeeming blood. Not only is it a redeeming blood, though, listen, it's a rebirthing. It's a rebirthing blood. 1 Peter verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You remember a man who talked about being born again, John chapter 3. Verse 1 through 7, listen to this. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came by Jesus by night. Matter of fact, he was a coward. He came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now can you imagine talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He tells you, you must be born again. Now, we've got the Bible to help us understand it. We've had preachers, Sunday school teachers, Bible school teachers, and commentary writers try to explain this to us so you and I may can grasp it a little better than Nicodemus. But he tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Listen, God's plan of salvation, my friend, has not changed. Hey, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. You're sitting there today saying the same thing. "I don't understand it, preacher. Tell me how I can be born again. Tell me how something with corruptible blood such as I am can have the incorruptible blood such as Jesus Christ. I just don't understand it." Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it's available to us right here. Let me find the right verse. It says being born again in verse 23. Being born again not of corruptible seed but of indecorruptible. So we understand that, but how are we born again? We are born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abides forever. By the Word of God. How is man to be born again? You are born again by the Word of God. You remember when God created everything in the world, what did He do? He spoke, didn't He? He spoke the word. Listen, words are very powerful with God. He spoke, He said, "Let there be light," and the Bible says there was light. And God said it was good. He said, "Let there bring forth fish." The Bible says fish came forth and it was good. He said, "Let there be man." He created man in His own image with His own hands, and man was created. God's word is what created everything, and God's word today is still how a man must be born again. The Bible plainly teaches that you cannot be saved unless you hear the word of God. And the Spirit of God draws you and you hear the word of God, preached, or you hear it taught, or you hear the word of God somewhere. It may be in a song, it may be in a magazine you was reading, but outside of hearing the word of God preached or the word of God some way, you cannot be saved. You're saved by the word of God. It tells us plainly. So how can we do this? We are born naturally through our parents. John 3:6, we are born into the flesh, we are born a human. With DNA from our parents, we have traits that our parents have. You go and see my daddy today, you'll see an 80-year-old picture of me. He's short, good looking, everything just like myself. I look just like him, people say. You go, my brother, he looks more like the Benefield side. We don't want to get into them. Y'all throw me out of the church. Listen, I've got traits my parents has. The Morgan family cannot stand to be told what to do. I've got it. It's right here too. It keeps passing down. You've got traits. Hey, I've noticed that I hold my hands like my daddy does. Certain way his fingers does, I've noticed I do that. A certain way my daddy walks, I've noticed I do that. I can see a picture of myself standing. It looks just like my daddy. Some of y'all have done the same things. You've seen this. Listen, no matter how hard we try, we cannot escape that we are tied to that bloodline. We're tied to it. And that's what the Bible says. Those that are born flesh is flesh. You cannot. There's nothing I can do in this world that would ever do me away with being a Morgan. I could go change my name. I could change this and that. And by the way, nowadays, I just got to throw this in there. It's free. There are people deciding that they'll let their children decide if they're boys or girls. My friend, that's the stupidest junk I've ever heard. God give us certain ways to know that. It don't take a rocket scientist to know what they are. You were born what God made you, and nothing can change it. Amen. You're tied to your family. Those traits. Go back to your mother and daddy. You don't believe me? Look at Derek, Nicole. Look at those children. They look like them. I ain't going to get on none of the rest of y'all. Derek is paid staff. He can't get mad. We'll hold his check. But listen, we can all look at our children. We can see traits that's there. We traits as human DNA that brings us back. Listen, think about this. The Bible says what is flesh, and what is spirit. And once you hear the Word of God, you begin hearing that Word of God. He pricks your heart through it. You begin to receive that Word of God. And guess what? Something miraculous begins to happen. Begins to happen. Romans 10, verse 10 through 17. This explains it better than I can. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, who shall believe on him who shall not be ashamed? For there is no difference between a Jew and a Greek, for the same Lord is over is rich unto all them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith coming by hearing, what now? And hearing by the word of God. So how are you born again today in 2019, just as Nicodemus didn't understand it? Many people today are not understanding it. The way you are saved and born again into the family of God is by the word of God. By the hearing of the word of God, you receive that, you believe it by faith, and miraculously God does a blood transfusion, and that was human of the fleshly heart, it goes being a spiritual heart. So just as I'm tied to the Morgans, boy, this part is good, bless God, now I'm tied to the family of God. And I can never not, I'm going to say this again, nothing I can do is ever going to escape me from being a Morgan. I could change my name, I could change it to Turner, well, I don't know why I don't want to do that, but I could. I could change it from being anything I want to be, but it still wouldn't change my DNA. I am tied to my daddy. And bless God, once I'm saved by Jesus Christ, whatever I want to do, this blood's put into me and I'm still the family of God. What about that? Miraculously, a blood transfusion takes place. Remember what it said, that is flesh, that the spirit is spirit. You can't change the flesh. You can't change your name to flesh. Can't change your blood. Can't change your spiritual blood either. You are tied to the family of God. That's amazing stuff. The word causes us to exist. We know how flesh comes to exist. We don't have to get into the science of that. Every adult in here knows that. Even most of the kids have a class in school that teaches that. We know how it happens. Same way the Word of God causes us to exist spiritually. What a blessing it is. Listen, not only is it a redeeming blood, a rebirthing blood, but it's also a reserving blood. So reserving blood. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. I'll read verse 1 through 5. That's good. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God of our Father, of Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To it, listen to this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not only are you redeemed, not only have you been born again, but my friend, you've got a place reserved. We're about to go on a trip at the end of May when Abby graduates, Lord willing, and our nerves can handle it. We're going to drive from Oxford, Alabama to Medford, Oregon. And you know what we've had to do? We've had to go make some reservations. I had to reserve a rental car to start with. If not, it wouldn't be available. There'd be no way to get there. And we had to reserve plane tickets. The main reason we did it in advance, because we ain't got enough money to get them when we get there. They're a lot cheaper this way. But listen, we reserved them. But listen, we'll do something else. We'll make reservations for hotel rooms. There's some of y'all that's got your vacation reservations made already. You've got your reservations made for a cruise. You've got all this ready. You're ready for May. You're ready for June. You're ready for this time to get here. Boy, you just cannot wait. You're ready to go on vacation. You've got those reservations set aside. But my friend, I want to ask you this morning, do you have your spot reserved in heaven? Do you have it reserved in heaven? You see, we think our plans are sure. We think that I know I'm going on that trip in May. I might not even be alive in May. We think we're going on that vacation in June that you got down in Florida. My friend, you may not even be here. A hurricane could come and wipe it out. We almost saw it last year. Those things is not concrete. You don't know if June's coming. You don't know if you're going to be here in June. You don't know if you're going to get to go on that vacation you reserved. But I want to make you a promise right now that eternity is coming your way. Someday eternity is coming your way. So I want to challenge you to make sure this morning that you have a reservation set aside for you. And if you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, you have a great reservation that's set aside that verse 4 tells us about. Boy, I like to read it because it excites me. To an inheritance incorruptible. In other words, my inheritance cannot fade away. It cannot, moths can't eat it up, can't nothing do away with it. My inheritance is settled, it's forever in heaven. Nothing can do away my inheritance. The Bible says it's undefiled. There's nothing that can mess. Listen, I looked up incorruptible. Incorruptible means it's undecaying, it's immortal. Undefiled means it's pure. My inheritance I've got in heaven is pure. And listen, it says it's fadeth not away. That's the only constant we can have. It fadeth not away. You realize the only constant we have in this life, in our physical life, is change. It's the only constant. You say, well, preacher, my job's secure. Oh, really? You ask those people who work for all those big companies through the years. You say, my family's secure. No, it's not. Hey, husbands and wives leave each other all the time. I don't like to think about it, and it's not good, but it happens. Nothing is secure. Nothing is set in concrete. But your eternity, that is set, that is there, that is coming, is your reservation in a place that's incorruptible, not decaying. Is it undefiled? Is it never going to fade away? But most of all, is it reserved for you? Is your name on it? They tell us in John that there's a place prepared for us. Jesus said, if I go, you can come be with me. I'll come back and get you. And I'll take you to that place at where I am. There you might be also. It says, my Father's house is many, many mansions. Some versions say rooms. We got all excited about it, trying to try to figure which one is right. Listen, I don't know why we need a room anyway. It's never going to rain. It's never going to be night. It's never going to be thunderstorms. It's never going to be bad weather. So I don't know why we need a room. But bless God, it says we've got a mansion prepared in the house of God. Now listen, have you got one of those mansions reserved? Have you got it reserved? The way you reserve it is being born again to the family of God. You give a reservation, an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that cannot pass away. If you do have that, if you don't, let's start over. If you don't have that, I want you to bow your head and get an altar of God. You get somewhere and you cry out to the Lord to save you if you don't have that reservation. If you do have that reservation, I want you to turn verses 5 through 9. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I got to stop there for a second. Do you understand how it said we was kept? I deal with this all the time. And I'm not going to get on denominations. I'm not going to get on this. I'm about the Bible. It says we are kept by the power of God. My friend, you show me something that can wipe away the power of God and I might believe I can be lost again. I am kept by the power of God through faith. I am secure. God's got His hand on me, and according to the Scriptures, nothing can snatch me out of His hand. I am secure by the power of God. Now we can go on. Wherein you greatly rejoice through manifold temptation. Matter what that word means, many. It says, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom you seen Him not, you believe and you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There was a word back there in verse number 8. Rejoice. Having not seen you love, and whom you now, whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. My friend, today we ought to be the happiest people on earth. We'll be the joyfulest people on earth. We'll be able to go around with a smile on our face. And if somebody asks us why, we should be ready to tell them why we're smiling. You should be so happy that people constantly ask you, what's going on with you? Why are you so happy? What's going on? And you can go back and you can tell them, because, brother, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a redeeming blood. It's a rebirthing blood. Bless God, it's a reserving blood. And listen how great it is. And not only is that, it's a rejoicing blood. I rejoice because I've been paid with a price. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer have I got an eternity of hell which men belong to, and which men deserve. Our righteousness deserves hell. But we've been paid with this price, the blood of Christ. Let us rejoice. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sadly to say, many of us walk around with our heads down, defeated. We walk around defeated. Even Christians walk around completely beat up. Completely done away with. This thing's been bad. That thing's been bad. My health's been bad. This thing's bad. Boy, it's just all bad. You don't believe me? You go and you ask some people how they're doing, and you better be ready because they're about to unload on you and tell you everything that's wrong. I want to challenge you Christians, if somebody asks you that and you know without a shadow of a doubt you say by the blood of Jesus Christ, I want you to be able to tell them why you believe what you believe. That testimony I told you to write, that's why. If you've got a testimony you can put on paper, you've got a reason to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. You've got a reservation waiting on you. Now listen, I know depression is real. I know it's real. The clinical part of it, I know it's real. I have been there. I know it's there. I know other preachers that's been there. I know preachers that's been there and had to seek help for it, in hospitals for it. I know it's real. People go through this and it's real. And listen, when you're in that place and people will say, oh, if you're depressed, you just don't have faith. That's baloney. It happens. And you have faith. What happens is the world begins coming in on us. Becomes coming in on us and we begin getting blinded to this thing. There's more other outside elements that come into it too. With the sun not shining, all this, depression becomes very real. But I'm telling you that according to the Scripture of God, we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. You may be suffering the hardest time you've ever suffered. I challenge you to go back and read these verses where it says, don't consider this thing as something strange happened. Everybody's going through it. That's what that means. Don't think that this thing has just come upon you. This thing is made to try your faith. I was talking to Pat this morning in Sunday school. I had to be nice to her. I told her, I said, I pick on her a lot. But what I have found out is the Scripture is so true that every trial I go through, it strengthens my life. And it only comes by age that I figure this out, because the older I get, the more trials I go through, the more things I go through. And Pat said, yes. Through life, you go through this trial and it strengthens you for this. And then you don't know what it strengthens you for until you come into this trial. Then you begin to understand. So these trials that He is carrying you through is getting you ready. Getting you ready for something else that's coming. I said it this way, and I don't know if this is true. This is my thoughts on it. I've known people who was laying at death's door, who if God didn't intervene within hours, would go walk out of this life to meet the Lord face to face. And I've seen peace upon their faces. I've seen a peace that passeth all understanding. I've seen a peace that I couldn't even understand. I was thinking, man, they know they don't have many hours left. Why are they so happy? Why is a smile on their faces? Why is this? I believe it's them, the trials they look back on, going through and understanding they have joy unspeakable and full of glory, knowing they have a home reserved in heaven, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, that they've entered into a family that cannot be done away with. They're forever secure in a perfect place. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. One day we'll understand it. But my two questions to you today, have you been born again? What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you trusted Christ to save you, to redeem you, to pay that price? He's already paid it. Have you received it? If it has, and you know your place is reserved, are you joyful? Are you excited? You see, I think the answer as Christians as a whole is no. Why'd I say that? Because I look around and I see the desire that's not there. I see, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. I see this and how I have to talk to myself and get myself picked up sometimes. We all go through these things. But this week, I want you to understand, as you sit down and you write that personal testimony, realize that you're able to do that by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe if you'll do that, it'll help your joy. It'll help you understand that there's nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Jesus. And those of you today that has been saved by the miraculous blood, been saved by the miraculous grace and mercy, go tell somebody about it. Go tell somebody what's happened to you. Go tell somebody what's been done. You never know who needs to hear that. You never know who's waiting to say, boy, I needed that. I needed to hear that. I needed proof. I needed proof of that. We all stand this morning as Pat comes and plays. This blood of Jesus Christ, if you search it out, do you know this? That every one of us in this room have a certain trace of gold in our blood. There's other minerals too, zinc and many other things, but we have a certain trace of gold. You are worth something. You are worth a lot. But even if you didn't have that certain trace of gold or silver in your blood, of any of that stuff, you are so precious that God the Father sent the most expensive thing He could find throughout all of His creations, and it had been with Him all along. The Bible says He was there before the foundation of the world. His Son, Jesus Christ, He sent Him to shed His blood for you. You personally. The Bible says if we neglect such a great salvation, there's no other way we can be saved. The only way to God has been presented to you this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only way you'll ever be able to stand in the presence of God, confident, knowing that you're right with Him. If you don't have that applied to your life this morning, I beg you to come. I beg you to come. I beg you to cry out to God. Pride may keep you from here. I'd love to see you here. But listen, if you can't come, something keeping you from there, you're saved by hearing the Word of God and responding to it by faith. Coming to this altar is a great place. That altar cannot save you. The blood of Jesus Christ is what saved you, and faith in it. I'm going to ask you this morning if you'd give your life to Him. Will you give your life to Jesus Christ? It's been paid for you. I hear people saying all the time, a guy at work, that's his name too, guy. I asked him again, I said, Friday met him in the truck that evening going up to get something. I said, when you coming to church with me? He said, when the time's right. I said, when is that? When I feel like I can live it. I said, how many times have I told you? That time's not coming. There's never a time you can live it. People say, well, when I get older, or when I get married, or when I do this, or when I do that, or get a better job, or get this, or I don't want to run and do these things, my friends, then I will. Just give me a minute, then I'll do it. Are you sure you've got that time? Spirit of God's pulling that heart. You're not guaranteed another chance. You guaranteed that one, I believe. I believe God draws all men. It says, whosoever will call. I read a thing from Spurgeon this week. Spurgeon said, since we don't have a list of God's elect, we have to preach whosoever will come. You see, God knew. No, it's not telling that God put this one could be saved and that one couldn't be saved, but God truly knew before the foundation of the world who would accept Him. God knew that. Me and you don't know that. God does. God makes a free offer to every man to come and accept him. If you don't do that, you are saying no to Jesus Christ, to that precious blood that was shed. You are rejecting it. And according to the Bible, that's the only sin you cannot be forgiven of. And you'll not enter the gates of heaven. No matter how many church rolls your name's on, you won't be there. As she plays, would you come?